this evening as well. And we do pray that the Lord would bless our time together as we finish off this week's series on the encouragements for daily living from the book of Isaiah. I've been enjoying doing it and preparing for it, and I hope and pray that that comes across as we go through even this evening. Just before we look at God's word and we read it, let's pray together and commit our time to the Lord. Father, we come into your presence this evening. We come before you, thanking you, Lord, for the great God that you are. We thank you, dear Lord, this evening that each one of us can say that you are our God. We thank you, dear Lord, that each one of us this evening can thank you for saving our sins. And Father, for taking them away, and Father, casting them into the sea of forgetfulness. And Father, this evening we do pray that you would just be with each one of us. Lord, just bring us that reassurance that each one of us needs. Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, as tonight we look at our next little subject, Lord, we do pray that again you would help us in our daily walk. Be the Lord of our daily walk. And Father, that each one of us just would know your help, your strength. And Lord, think about what we're doing. Think about how we're reacting. Thinking about how, Lord, we conduct ourselves before others. We pray, dear Lord, that we would be a testimony to each person that we come in contact with, that others may see Christ in us. Lord, we pray this evening that you would just be with those who are gathered even with us this evening online. Lord, would you bless them and their own individual needs at home. And for us here, Lord, be with us too. We think, Lord, of the week that now we're coming near the end of, or we're in the middle of as such, but we're coming to the Easter weekend. And Father, we're looking forward to that time. Father, whenever we're told in your word to remember, we're told to remember your death. We're told to remember what happened on Calvary. And we pray, dear Lord, that each one of us reverently would remember the great work that was done on Calvary's cross. So, Lord, be with us this evening. Bless our time together here. And, Lord, may we know your presence with us. For we do ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Maybe this evening you turn with me into the book of Isaiah once more. Tonight we're going to be looking at the Lord of our daily walk. Now, I was just looking at my watch before I came in here this evening, and I've got a smartwatch on, so it has told me I have done 10,824 steps today. I hope you're all impressed to get over my 10,000, by the way. Probably maybe more surprised than anything else, but I've done 10,000, I've walked all those steps today, but before you get too excited, or before you get too surprised, that's not the sort of walk we're talking about. This evening, we're talking about our testimonies. We're talking about how we live with the Lord every day. And that's what we're going to be looking at here, how we conduct ourselves and how we look to the Lord for guidance. So Isaiah chapter 30. So whether you've done 10,000 steps today or whether you haven't, don't be feeling too bad, because we're not going to be highlighting that this evening. What we're going to be looking at is, as I say, is God's word, and where the Lord wants us to walk in our daily lives. So Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. God's word tells us, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait on him." Now, there's that little word "wait" again that's used. Remember last week we did about the Lord of our daily strength, and those who wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. Well, here we have the word "wait," and here we have "therefore will the Lord wait." So here we have, one point we have where we need to wait, but also there is the Lord being patient with us also. Let's move on into verse 19. "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he shall answer thee. And lo, the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us this evening. Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at daily encouragements that we need to take on board. And praise the Lord, he has given us so much. And we're going to be learning again, step by step, as Christians, what we need to be doing in our daily lives, how we need to be thinking. And we've been looking over the weeks at our daily focus. We've been looking at our daily thoughts. We've been looking at our daily strength. And tonight we're looking, as I said, we're looking at our daily walk. But let me give you a little bit of history of what's going on here where Isaiah is concerned. So Judah, the southern kingdom, has been in strife and threat. Okay, so Israel, the northern kingdom, has been taken by the king of the Assyrians, King Sennacherib. Now, one of the things I thought was interesting, and I just want to add it in here, because King Sennacherib, he was an evil man, a real evil man, and his name means Bramble of Destruction. So I can assure you, I will not be calling any of my sons, not that I'm going to have any more, but any of my sons, I'll not be calling them Sennacherib anyway. But what a name. Imagine having a name like that. Bramble of Destruction. Like, we hear of so many people having names in the scripture and some beautiful names and what they mean. But here we have a man and he was evil and he was a bramble of destruction everywhere he went. And for the children of Israel in the southern kingdom of Judah, they were, all they could think about was the fact that his army, Sennacherib's army, was at the door as such. Invasion was impending. And King Sennacherib is taunting Jerusalem. He's taunting King Hezekiah. But the biggest mistake he made was that he taunted the Lord. The Lord of the people of Judah, the one and only true God. It's like whenever they said about the Titanic that not even God could sink it. It's one of these cases. Sennacherib taunted the Lord. And moving on to whenever we come to the portion of scripture that we're coming to, we discover that after this portion of scripture, by the way, after the verses that we read, it's sort of in between, okay? Just Sennacherib's waiting to invade. These verses here that we've read, and then we hear, if we had read on, we find out that Sennacherib never gets to invade Jerusalem and is sent home with his tail between his legs, as the saying goes. He was sent home in shame. All the big words, all the taunting. And one night, the angel of the Lord visited Sennacherib's camp and wiped out 185,000 of his men. Sennacherib never got into Jerusalem at all. And 2 Kings chapter 19 tells us all about it. And it also tells us, while worshipping his own God, his false God, back in his own homeland of Assyria, Sennacherib was slain by his two sons. There he was worshipping. He thought his great God. And his two sons come in and murdered him. Isaiah, as I say, chapter 30, brings us into the time where Sennacherib is threatening Jerusalem. And it's just in before Sennacherib is sent with his tail between his legs. And here we are, the children of Israel are quaking in their boots. This big army that has done so much destruction around them, They're just panicking, as the saying goes. And Isaiah 30 is at a time whenever Isaiah is advising the people. The Lord is using Isaiah. He's trying to encourage the people. He's trying to guide them. He's trying to encourage King Hezekiah that God was watching over them. Even though there was a threat of invasion, Sennacherib's army was massive compared to Judah in those days. And we discover that what was really happening in those days was that there's a bit of politics going on, because what they were trying to do, what the rulers of Jerusalem were trying to do, was they were trying to make treaties and pacts with other countries so that they could come in and try to defend themselves against this great army. And they were trying to make agreements with other kings, and all this was going on. I was sort of thinking even of today's circumstances where Israel is concerned. And from the little I know and the little you can see in the TV, you can certainly see how, you know, even the UN's getting on where Israel's concerned. These are supposed to be Israel's friends. You don't hear the UN turning around saying, Gaza, you know, you need Hezbollah. And all. They're not there telling them to give out the names of the captives. They're not telling them to sort these things out. It's always geared towards Israel. And you can see that very evident on our news today. But here was Isaiah in these days telling the people, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You know, we're not very good at taking instructions. Denise will tell you a lot about me anyway. She'll tell you that I'm not very good at taking instructions. And I don't know how many times David has mentioned to me, Nigel, we need a wee bulb up here. And we do need a bulb up here. And I keep on meaning to get it. And I'll have to get it. And we'll have to get it fixed. But, you know, here was Isaiah telling the people, look, don't worry about what's going on out there. Don't worry about Sennacherib. Don't worry about getting all our kings involved, all our lands involved. God's looking after you. This is the way. Walk ye in it. In chapter 8, God instructs Isaiah not to walk in the ways of the people. Isn't it interesting to note that throughout a book that maybe we don't know an awful lot about, because we know all about Isaiah chapter 53 and those verses that we're all very familiar with, but whenever you start to read in and you start to pick out different aspects of the book of Isaiah, we've been able to learn those different aspects over the last couple of weeks. And whenever we learn about the walk that the Lord instructs the people of those days to walk in, and Isaiah as well, we learn that in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, for the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. So Isaiah, don't be listening to the people. Don't be going the way they're going. In those days, they were trying to do the same thing. They were trying to make treaties, and they were trying to make all these pacts with other lands. And God is telling Isaiah that he should not walk in the way of the people. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in the way of the people with others around us and not look into the true facts. I've seen that even in church life. Whenever people come to me and they think that something's happening or something's going on, and you know, there may be a bigger picture behind the scene, and God knows that bigger picture. We don't understand it, but God does. And he can see the bigger picture. You know, many of us can talk about our testimonies, and we can talk about how there were times that maybe we should have been in a particular place, and something happened. We don't know why that thing happened, but something happened that meant whether we weren't. And later we found out it was just as well we weren't. And we've all had experiences where the Lord has kept us and guarded us, and that we're not to entertain the way of the crowd. We're constantly teaching our young people this. Don't go in the way of the crowd. Don't be tempted to go in the way of the crowd. If that crowd is taking you away from the things of the Lord, don't go that way. Filter everything that you do through God's word. And in this case, the people were, as I say, wanting to try to save themselves as such from the battle that was before them. And Isaiah is telling them, look, look to me, look to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And following man is never, never acceptable for us as believers. It'll certainly not do our testimony any good. It'll not do our walk any good. And so we need to be so careful about following man. And that's what God was telling Isaiah here. Be careful. And following man or associating ourselves with, and there is lots of people out there and lots of believers out there who have associated themselves with other people. Can I challenge you this evening? Associate yourself with no one else. No one else. But Christ alone. Don't say you are this. Don't say you are that. You are Christ's. And him foremost should be where you want to walk in your life. If I walk with the world, I can't walk with God, D.L. Moody said. So the world's one thing. And man's another thing. And you know, whenever I say about even this aspect about following a man, I'm even talking about our pastor. If you're here because of Pastor Moore as a man and not how the Lord has gifted him, then you're in the wrong place. If you can't listen to God's word, if we can't take what Pastor Moore shares with us and filter it through God's word and read it as he explains it to us and expounds it onto us, we're in the wrong place. God has gifted these men, and we're so thankful that he has. But they're men. And we are to look to him. And putting Christ first and putting his word first has to be a priority in our daily lives. You know, God told Isaiah that he wasn't to walk in the ways of man. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, it tells us, and verse 5, actually in chapter 2 as well, and this is what it says in verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mount of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. And we will walk his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And then verse 5 tells us in Isaiah 2, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. If we have things that take us away from being with God's people, from coming into the house of the Lord, if we have sporting events, if we have family events, if we have work events that are taking us away from the house of the Lord, we need to readjust. And we need to rethink our priorities. Here we have the people walking with the Lord and in his light. So from telling Isaiah not to walk in the way of the people and the way of the world, here we have the people themselves realizing that being in the house of the Lord is where they should be, because they wanted to walk his paths. And do we have that desire in our Christian lives? Do we have the desire to walk the way the Lord wants us to walk? So let's bring ourselves back to our text this evening. Back to verse 21, which is our main verse this evening, where it tells us, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." So the first thing we're going to look at where this text is concerned is the Lord who guides our daily walk. Can you imagine walking down the street and someone shouting, "Stop," at you? Wonder would you listen? Wonder would you take heed? Someone maybe who can see that we're maybe stepping into danger from behind. They can maybe see what's on ahead or whatever, something that we haven't noticed. And they tell us to stop. I wonder, would we listen? Would we even look around? You see, it tells us in these words, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee." Someone's looking out. Someone's looking from behind us. Many years ago, whenever I was learning to drive, we went for a family holiday to Switzerland. And I was just learning to drive at the time. And so we got into the car, and of course, going to Switzerland, going over on the continent, everything's a hire car, everything's on the other side. Of course, my dad was driving. I hadn't passed my test at this stage. So my dad's driving. We're leaving the airport. We came to the first set of traffic. Now, I mean the first. We didn't even get further than this. But we got to the first set of the traffic lights, and the car is not slowing down. Okay? I'm sitting beside my dad, my mum, my sister, and another friend. They had all gone, and they had done the wise thing, and taken the train. And they were going to the hotel where we were staying in the train. But we were collecting the car, and we were bringing it up to meet them. So we're driving along. We're coming to the first set of traffic lights, and my dad's not slowing down. And I shout, "Stop!" And the next thing, the two of us are nearly thrown through the window, and the car brakes jam on. And my dad says, "Oh, just as well you shouted stop." He says, "I thought you were driving." Of course, I was sitting on the side of the car. So it just showed you, if I had shouted stop, we were right through there. But anyway, that's the way it goes. Just because I was sitting where I would normally be sitting if I was driving the car and he wasn't. But if I hadn't shouted stop, how many times have we watched even a child maybe walking along a stone wall? Maybe we did it ourselves whenever we were younger. We were balancing. I thought we were great. And we're balancing, and you're looking out at the child, and you don't really shout anything or not because you're afraid of startling them and them falling off the wall. But you need to say, "Look, the wall looks a bit crumbly on along," and you need to make them aware. Do you shout? What do you do? And here we are in a situation, friends, and we are in a beautiful situation. This is what I love about these words in this verse, where it tells us, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." This is a word from the Lord who's keeping his eye, in this particular case, on Isaiah. But our God doesn't change. This applies to us as believers. He's keeping his eye on us. We know that he does because his word tells us. And in walking with the Lord, it's not about knowing the facts. Rather, it's about knowing the God who knows the facts. And as we walk with Jesus, resting our head as we're told to do on his breast and taking comfort, we will learn to know God's word. We will learn to know his will for our lives. We will know his ways. And we'll want to obey him. Not out of being forced to do so, but out of a heartfelt connection to him. Because we want to walk in his ways. And that voice that we hear in the background, remember, it says from behind. And whenever we think of the voice from behind, we can't see it. We can't see anyone. But isn't that what faith is? Putting our trust in the Lord. And how guilty we are of not putting our trust in the Lord the way we should. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So whenever those times, whenever we hear the world dragging us one way or the other, it's we are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We mightn't understand why the Lord's taking us down a particular path, but we're not to lean on our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8 tells us, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And it just backs up what Isaiah is telling us. We'll hear a voice. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Verse 17 in Isaiah 30 tells us that we will see our teachers. And as I said earlier, we're very blessed to have faithful men of God to teach us. And we're very faithful. We're very privileged here at Points Past to have Pastor Moore. But you know, that's a public ministry. And we can all benefit, and we all do benefit, and that's what God wants us to do, to benefit from his word. But God also has promised us a private, personal ministry. And that's why he sent the Holy Spirit to instruct us and teach us. And if men try to tell us, and scholars and commentaries, we can read commentaries till they're coming out of our ears, and if they try to put other words that aren't in the scriptures in front of us, we need to be cautious about that. God wants us to understand his word. He has given us the Holy Spirit to instruct us. That's what God's word tells us. And that is how we are to filter what we hear and what we read, through God's word and God's word alone in our daily walk. John 16, verse 12 tells us, I have yet many things to say unto you, the Lord Jesus speaking, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Here's the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, telling us that he's sending the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to instruct us. Do we allow the Lord to instruct us? Do we take that time personally in quietness? Do we hop into the car on the way home from church in the mornings or on a Wednesday evening and blare out whatever music's on, taking away the thoughts or the opportunity even for the Holy Spirit to speak to us? What way are we walking? What way are we allowing ourselves to be instructed? That little voice says, this is the way. walk ye in it. And God wants us to depend on him for our daily walk. So this evening, there's a Lord who guides our daily walk. And then there's the Lord's direction in our daily walk. You see, God has a program as such of character development for each one of us. He wants to use each of us in different ways. He knows that we have different strengths. And he wants the others to look at our lives and say, he or she walks with God because he or she lives like Christ. And one of those that we come in contact with, those who we work with, those who we are at school with, whatever our situation is, our neighbors, do they see Christ in us just because of our daily walk? John 14, verse 6 tells us, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And praise God, each one of us have found ourselves this evening knowing that we have taken the step looking to Christ because we have discovered in our own lives that this world is not the way to go and that we are to look to Christ to have our sins forgiven and to have that assurance in our lives that we're safe and secure. Jesus says, I am the way. So if we're hearing the voice in the background of God speaking to us, and Jesus is saying, I am the way, surely this is the way we're to go. If you turn over in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5, we're given some examples of what our daily walk should look like. We're given examples, but we're also given what we're to avoid in our daily lives and ways that we're not to walk in. So Ephesians chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Now there's something straight away that we're told to do, to walk in love. And then we're told, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet smelling savor. Do we treat each other as if we love each other? Do we show love to those that we come in contact with? Then it goes on to say, as much as we have the example there of Christ and our walk in love, it gives us some sin that we're to avoid. And examples here. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. You know, it's very straightforward and very simple and very black and white there, isn't it? We're not adding any words in here. It's very simple for us to understand. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, the beacon that we're to be. So we're to walk in love. But then it tells us in verse 8, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Is there anything difficult there? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, providing what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatever or whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherein he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Here we are again, told to walk as children of light. Do you know that light doesn't bend? There's a fact that maybe you learned whenever you were at school. Maybe you didn't realize that, but light doesn't bend. It doesn't go around corners. If you shine a torch on the back wall, it'll just go straight to the back wall. It'll not, as such, go out the door. It'll shine straight ahead. Light is a beam of energy. It always has a source. And if we are told to be children of light, again we hear Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8 and verse 12. So if we're to follow the light and be the light, who is the light that we're following? Jesus. So he's in front of us. The word of God is behind us, whispering in our ear. This is the way. The light. Walk as the example that Christ has set before us. You see, there's a light that is created. So whenever we think of the light and the light bulbs, and I happen to drop myself in it about the bulb being out here, but that light's created. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then there's a light that shines from Christ. Do you ever think of heaven? I always thought this was a beautiful thought, that there's no sun, moon, and stars in heaven because the glory of the Lord is the light. And how privileged are we? Because we're going to experience that someday. Here we have the voice of the Lord from behind. We're walking in faith daily, each day. This is the way. His voice behind us. The light of Christ before us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 tells us as well that we're to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Friends, how often do we let ourselves down? Here we have verses that tell us that have all the characteristics on how God wants to guide us in our daily walk. In love, as children of light, to walk circumspectly. He doesn't want us to have those diversions. And we have the God of our direction and the Lord who guides us each day. But he doesn't want us to be diverted. He doesn't want us to be tempted in one way or the other. And that's why I'm saying we need to filter our daily walk. We need to filter it through God's word. What we hear, what we do, where we go, we need to filter it through God's word. And thine ear shall hear a word from behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. And when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. And that last phrase, when ye turn to the right hand and turn to the left, it's just like, okay, we have a wee dog at home, okay? And whenever it comes out, it come out to the study with me, I have my study outside, so it comes out to the study, and then whenever it's time to go in, I'll say, right, come on. And I'll watch it, and it will walk in front of me. Now, if the dog goes to go on down the driveway, I'll go, ah, 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 or if the dog goes to walk around to the where the garage is, I'll go, ah, 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 no, we're going home. We're going into the house. And the dog, sorry, gets a general gist, and there it goes, then to the back door of the house. That's just what God's telling us here in these verses. As Isaiah shares with the people, he says, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You see, there's a path that God wants us to walk. It's a path that is straight. It's a path that is sure. And you see those times whenever we get that wee bit of a guilty conscience, I should really be somewhere else tonight. I shouldn't be here. That's the Lord telling us, hold on a minute, just read a wee bit off to the right hand. Or maybe we've gone and done something else, or you were about to do something else. That's God telling us, hold on a minute, you're not to go that way. This is the way that you're to go. Walk ye in it. God didn't make his word complicated. God made his word in such a way that each one of us could be sure of what our daily walk should be. What our daily focus should be. What our daily thoughts should be. Where our daily strength should come from. I read in one of the commentaries this little phrase, and it says, in all your course, walk with God and follow Christ as a little poor, helpless child. Taking hold of Christ's hand, keeping your eye on the mark of the wounds on his hands and his side. Whence came the blood that cleanses you from sin, and hiding your nakedness under the skirt of the white shining robe of his righteousness. Do you ever remember as a child taking the wrong person's hand? And the horror that there was whenever you realised what you'd done. So you thought maybe I knew I'd done it a couple of times. I took my mum's hand, or thought was my mum's hand, and and you're walking along, and you maybe walked along quite a bit, and you're walking along, and then you look up, and it's a total stranger. And the horror that you felt. Well, you know, whenever we're walking with the Lord, that's just exactly how we should feel whenever we get it wrong. There should be a horror. And we should be looking straight back there. And I would have looked straight back to see where my mum was. I remember one time I was sitting in the car many years ago, and my mum used to work in a shop in Belfast called Leisure World. If any of us of an age can remember going into Leisure World and enjoying one of the largest toy shops there was in the country anyway, but we used to enjoy going in. And in Leisure World anyway, we would have stopped outside and collected my mum each evening. And I remember one night us all sitting in the car as a family, and we're waiting for my mum to come out of Leisure World, and she comes out, and just about three cars ahead, there was another blue car, just the same as ours. We never thought anything of it. And my mum hops into the passenger seat of the car that's about three or four cars in front of us, and we can just see the shadow of her going, whoo, whenever she realises that she's in the wrong car. And she hops out, very sorry, I'm really sorry, I didn't realise. And away she comes back down to us. And what I'm trying to point out is that's exactly how we should feel whenever we get this wrong. There should be that horror that we've got it wrong. There should be that dismay, because we want to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. And what glory and what wisdom he will share with us from the light of his word. Now, each week, I've been putting a little poem together, a little verse for each week. So I have. And we've come to the end. You may be glad we've come to the end. I'm not too sure. But I had to finish it off. So we sat and finished it off just in the last couple of evenings. But this is our little poem now for our little series that we've been doing, Encouragements for Daily Living, as we've looked at these different aspects of Isaiah. May I be dearly focused, Lord, on what you desire for me. May my sight be clear. May I know you near. O Lord, may my focus be on thee. My daily thoughts, O Lord, are not filtered the way they should be. Please help me find peace of mind, so my thoughts are founded on thee. Renew my daily strength, dear Lord, that I may be all that Christ is. May I be strong, may I tarry long, so that my strength is not mine, but his. Dear Lord, help me to hear thy voice in my daily walk each day. Please shine through me so that my walk may be straight and in your will all the way. Daily encouragements Isaiah has taught us, dear Lord, and our daily focus on these should be. May our thoughts bring us peace. May his strength in us increase for our walk with your son is the key. That's where we want to be walking. Christ has set his example before us. God has made his word clear. This is the way. Walk ye in it. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to you this evening.